So which one of you kept this coming?
So I've been looking at separation and isolation and how that occurs. And I was at dance class yesterday, and we do these things called rounds, and you get paired with a partner, and you just dance one after the other and all this, and we had separate heats because there were a lot of people, so some couples would go one round, and So it got to the third heat, and I wasn't paired with anybody. And boy, you know, I saw the whole story come up about why the teacher did that. Regardless, I mean, I noticed it later, regardless of the fact that in each heat, there was another woman who was not paired. We just didn't have enough people to go around. But in that third heat, it just felt like I was so, how do I put it?
Like highlighted.
What's that word? There's that word. Anyway, that and just like you know everything. You're about you don't deserve all, you know all this. She hates you. You know you're being anyway all that. And I sat there smiling. Just going, okay, can I just be here, sitting here and just watching all the other people? And then it dropped in, oh, but the other women went out and danced on their own, which you can just practice your steps around the room. And I went, I could still participate. Like, I could still be out here and participate. And what was really, really, really fun about that was, even if it was true, which it wasn't, that my teacher was, you know, isolating me, it didn't matter because I could still participate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just that whole place of where I've been looking at for a lot, yeah. Unconditionality of just, it doesn't matter if that's what the facts are. It doesn't matter if that's what's true, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. The choice is here.
Yes.
Do I want to participate or not? And I do. And I went out there and participated, and my teacher came in and was my partner for the whole week. She just came and danced with me, you know. So it was this really kind of fun place of, wow, you know, practice is amazing in that when as we're training to really be here, to really see it all, and to let the conditioned stories run through until you can just stop, you know, just kind of go, okay, yeah, I saw that, okay, and then it goes, and then you're just open to life going, hey, how about this? Mm-hmm.
So much to reflect back on that, right? So the first thing that I think you're pointing out as a process of practice, because that's what you're articulating for us, that practice is an arc. And the experience of life changes as we train ourselves to be in the process of practice. So the first place is, I'm holding in awareness this process of isolation and separation because that is what causes me to suffer.
Right.
So to be able to even, it's everything enlightens, right? Because if you think about isolation and separation, that is the core of ego. And that is what ego is, not being here in life. So, okay, so now I'm going to look at how that process happens for me, and that's what I'm going to hold in my awareness. Doesn't matter if I'm in a dance class or sitting on the meditation cushion or standing in a restaurant or in line at the grocery store, I can watch how that process is happening to disconnect myself, disconnect me from this, this here and now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you watched the specifics of how, because we can say that, listen, attention on a conversation and conditioned mind is separation, right? Because my attention is not here. I mean, we could say if I'm identified, I'm separate. If I'm with the ego, but there's a way in which it happens for you, right? And that's always valuable to see.
Yeah.
And you could watch. Okay, well then it's a conversation, and these are the buttons that will produce the experience of, I've been selected, targeted as undeserving, not good enough, did something wrong, whatever. Okay, so, and noticing that, the awareness is still expanded, not identified with it. Mm-hmm. Right? So it drops in, well, excuse me, there's something floating around. Excuse me, I'll be right back. In awareness, what did someone else do in the situation, right? And that is that being informed by all of life. Mm-hmm. And so paying attention to that, oh, something went and danced. And so you go do that, right? And then you're given connection because we're connected to ourselves. And the important thing being, ego isolates. But the truth of it is that we're never alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the connection that we seek is being with. We were talking about that in group on Thursday night. That the true fulfillment of longing comes when we're with ourselves. Mm-hmm. That when we recognize that we're not forbidden to participate in our existence by external circumstances, then we're always belonging, we're always participating. And all I need to do then is to follow that impulse into the action that is the realization of that. Right? The expression of oneness is what then I get to do.
Which, exactly, and I just want to say this again because it was so powerful, that happens despite... can happen despite what may be happening.
Yes.
Yeah. No matter what. Even if it's really true that she was targeting me. Even if it was really true that, you know, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't because, you know, other people were left out of rounds because there just wasn't enough people. I mean, at least I could see that, like, later on. But that unconditionality, because that's also what I've been exploring a lot here lately, was just so...
Yes. Yeah, it seems like it's particularly significant that, right? Because what the conditioning is only if you're included do you belong. But to have the experience of inclusion, regardless of circumstances, belies the lie of the conditioning. And so, yes, it's one level of victory when you can do it in the face of that's just what the circumstances are, really just a projection of ego. Mm-hmm. But if the circumstances are really hard and really difficult, the ability to find how to participate and be with, regardless of circumstances, is really the mastery.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It truly the experience that externals don't dictate well-being.
Right. And just real briefly for me, when I was RLing about it last night, it was so clear that connection, because again, this is what I was talking about Thursday night, is fluid. Mm. It's not, the process of connection is fluid in a way that there's not a stable sort of like fixed, I couldn't even go to groundedness. Mm-hmm. It was like connection is this fluidity of being with that changes in every moment, yet that sense of that process of connection is what's constant.
Yes.
Well,
and connection is fluid equals what we're really talking about is presence.
Yes. Yes.
Because presence is code word for I am with life however it is. That's when I feel most connected because I'm not separate.
Right.
That's the only difference, right?
Right.
Because I am not away from this.
Yes. And that's the constant.
And that's the constant. And it's true. Our attention shifts away and our attention comes back. Mm-hmm. And so the fluidity is how present am I? Mm. And the fluidity is also what presence, what is my experience of presence?
Yes.
Because in one moment it could be sunshine and laughter. In another moment it could be oh my God, a deep level of challenge to the adversity that is here, right?
Exactly.
But that doesn't matter. I'm still with.
Yeah, boy.
That's the unconditional, too.
Well said.
Yeah, thank you. All right, Carol.
I'm looking at distraction and resistance, and so it seems like in this...
Big bamboozles.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like when I'm in that there's no place for belonging or acceptance, you know.
May I stop you? Do you need a backtrack? Are you comfortable?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm comfortable. Thank you. Yeah, no...
The distraction and resistance means you can't be here in the sense of belonging.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
Oh. Yeah.
Right? Well. If you're distracted, you're not here. If you're resisting, you're not here. You're not present to how it is. You're present only to how you want it to be. How it's not.
How it's not. Okay.
So yours is just your feelings, Carol.
Because I felt so much resistance on all the assignments, the email class, and the morning retreat. Just like I was swimming uphill. I couldn't, you know, like I really want to do it. I want to sit down and look at the Enneagram and do that stuff. But it was just a push away like I've never had before. I mean, quite so much. And so maybe there's a place that I think she talks some more about accepting that you're in resistance. Is that what it is in one of the books? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just accepting it and going, okay, well, I'm really getting a lot of pushback, and I really want to do this, and I'm doing everything I can to get there, but it's
That's
really
very
hard.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, because a couple of things, right? So if you're in resistance, so first of all, to get that you're not pushing back. You're just identified with the resistance that's pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important, right? Because then you don't go, it's not your fault. There's no self-hate there. If you get, what is, it's not I'm distracted or I'm resistant. We want to change those pronouns to go, conditioned mind is distracting and conditioned mind is resisting,
mm-hmm.
Right? You are the authenticity that actually wants to do the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And that authenticity is prevented from doing the assignment through distraction and resistance. That's what you're accepting. Right?
That's what you're accepting, that you're not it. You're not...
That's
me,
right.
Is not me. I'm not...
That's animal. Exactly right. So when you're accepting resistance, it doesn't mean that you're going... It is at one level going, this is my experience. I'm identified. Because the importance of doing it from that place, right, Carol, is because if you're feeling resistant, and if resistance is attempting to overcome resistance, it's doing it from within the system.
Oh.
Right? We're never going to succeed if ego goes up against ego to transcend ego.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're still an ego. So acceptance is a way to get out. Accepting resistance implies I've moved out of the system. Right? Accepting that there is distraction is moving out of the system. Now I have a chance to make another choice. But as long as I'm within the system, my experience is never going to change.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right? So that acceptance is an expansion of awareness. You're suddenly making the awareness container larger.
Uh-huh.
Stepping out of it and realizing, yeah, there's something that's resisting, it's not me. Now, do I have another option? You might have a little bit more space for something to drop in because I'm not attempting to overcome ego from an ego place.
Wow. Well, that's really powerful.
It is.
Yeah.
And it can be anything. You could just shift your attention to anything. I'm going to look at a leaf, or I'm going to do something else. Let me go for a walk, or whatever else.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to shift the attention to.
Yes.
Not shifting it to do the assignment.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's a good point right there.
Right?
So it could be like, I'm going to resist separation with white knuckles.
That's right. Yeah. while I'm in separation, I'm trying to resist separation and overcome it. Yes, it's worse. Yes, it gets worse. Exactly so. It's a quicksand, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Every time I try to resist it, the more I sink.
Mm. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Jane, did I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, that was helpful. Because I think on this project I'm doing, I'm always trying to explain what I'm doing, and it's like I get stuck in this cycle, and it's really painful because it's like there's some part of me that never feels understood.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. I think that gets stuck in that. Just what you were saying of, okay, it's ego or something trying to, like, give clarity to something where it just can just come from a different place.
Uh-huh. So there's a project you're doing.
Yeah.
What your experience is that some part of you doesn't feel understood because there's an inability to articulate it in a way that is clear and complete, it sounds like.
Yes, yes.
And so because you find yourself getting caught in that, in the details of that articulation,
yes.
Then what the conclusion of it is, somehow or the other, there's that you're incomplete.
Yeah.
Or
this is, I need to stop doing this.
You need to stop doing this. Yeah. So how are you working on that, Mary Jane?
Well, I think I guess I haven't really, the way I generally try to work with it is to do things more in my body or in my intuition, mm-hmm. and start to catch when I'm really doing uh-huh. things in my head, or to work with other people, or to begin to separate. Explaining something to people is different than than its essence.
Yes. I think that's really key, because mm. I think part of recording about this process
okay.
for you
yeah.
would be that it's that there are different threads going.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in identification, right?
Okay.
There's an intense confusion about everything that's put into the socks in the washer kind of situation.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to work with it because they're all smooshed, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a thread here that is around needing to feel understood.
Mm, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which could be dealt with completely with a two-handed recording about
yeah, yeah,
why
that
there's
could take it out of that.
Take it
yeah.
out of the mix, right?
Yeah.
There's a sense of being incomplete.
Yeah.
So, or misunderstood, or not mm. fully understood. So let me work with that and,
yeah.
and bring that understanding, the need that
yeah.
I can meet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here.
Yes.
Now, the need to be understood then gets taken out of the equation.
Yes.
So now you can look at, okay, well, I'm attempting to explain something.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
I'm just attempting to get funding for something, actually.
I don't even need to really explain it. So because that's an important place, right? Clarity
yeah.
of what you're attempting to do in the
yeah.
sharing of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is often not the explanation of the deep love and affection and
yeah.
caring from which this ultimately springs,
yeah.
which is an explanation of you,
mm-hmm.
not an explanation of the project.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And you're targeting a different audience. And so the clarity that comes from being able to separate out
mm-hmm.
the threads. Now, and then the practice element of it is you could do a process map around what happens to you in this process.
Yeah, because it's basically I get really clear, I think it all makes sense, and then I go back in the cycle.
That's right.
And it's just like
that's right. So there are so many levels of
yeah.
any situation. And the first place, I think it's Bhagavan Sri Rajneesh said, when you admit you're confused, you're making progress.
Mm.
Because that allows you to know where you are,
mm-hmm.
which is, I'm in a morass of
yeah, yeah.
all of that, those threads that don't. And so what I'm attempting to do is to see how to facilitate my process
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah, I'm not trying to solve it for the funding. Like, I'm trying to see it as a practice.
That's right.
Opportunity.
Right. And when you start to have that
yeah.
orientation, you're able to. So we always have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
We never start at clarity when we're confused.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But we're attempting to clarity, and a processing mm-hmm. like this assists us to see, okay, this piece I'm doing with a two-handed robot.
Yeah,
yeah. This piece I'm process mapping.
Yeah, yeah.
This piece I'm just going to hold an awareness because I don't know how to, I don't mm-hmm. have any clarity
yeah, yeah, yeah,
about
yeah. Just
it,
let
right?
It be, yeah.
And
yeah.
this piece I can actually, okay, now that I know that funding and project as mm-hmm. content have nothing to do with my self-worth
mm-hmm.
or need or
yeah.
whatever need to be seen,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
then that's a very different piece. I mean,
yeah.
I love how practical practice is.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, and I'm grateful because I had this, part of what I'm doing in my project next week is I'm inviting people to not prepare what they're going to say, but to just say what comes in the moment. And I had something else prepared, and this was what I needed to do. So anyway, it's all like, anyway, I'm just grateful because I feel like what I'm doing, I feel really good about. It's just the articulation in a way that,
yes,
and getting out of that. I think that big piece of the needs that I have, that I can meet those, rather, because I think I can see that need,
yeah.
but I'm not necessarily meeting the need for myself. I think that's what, I see it, but I'm just observing that.
Yes, exactly so. So you meet, you can observe how the confusion is happening.
Yeah.
Because there's a starvation here that needs to be fed.
Yeah.
And what this does is confuse that with the external.
Yeah,
external,
yeah.
right? That something outside of you can give you this.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
so two things that will never go together
mm-hmm.
are put together.
Okay,
that if
yeah.
you make the absolute best presentation about your project,
feel, yeah.
you will
feel understood.
Seen and understood.
Yes.
Whereas if I'm seen and understood, mm-hmm. I can make a presentation of a project,
mm-hmm.
which is about the project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
meeting the
B.
need.
See, yeah, yeah.
That's
right.
Right. Yeah. yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Because I was reading this morning, I think it's Rilke, he said, in matters most important, we're unspeakably alone.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh. Welcome. Thank you. I forgot that this part was happening, and I have to catch a plane in a few minutes. So I just thought it ended at 10:30, and I was like, yeah, yeah. Well, first I would like to this is really good for me to be here. My mom, this practice was so important to her. This sangha. And she passed away about 5 months ago. And I just had such avoidance to the things that were so important to her. Because the grief, I just, I don't know how to be with it very, I felt like I was doing it okay. And then I've been sick for so long with this throat thing where I can feel where I'm like just trying not to cry so often. It's so hard to be with it. Because it's just hard to be sad, so I avoid it. And so I don't do things that I need to do to take care of myself, like meditate. And my mom was so good at taking care of herself. And so there's this weird connection of me avoiding the things that would help me the most because they remind me the most of my mom. And this practice was so important to her passing. It was so beautiful to see how present she could be as she was dying. And I want to have that. I know that it made the biggest difference. And this is the kind of thing that I need to be doing as I'm dealing with all of this grief. But it's really hard.
Yes, it is hard. It is hard. Because I would project, right, Ellie, that there's so much love there, right? And I'm sure this is your experience, but the proportion of pain that we experience is so proportional to the love
that's
that
we
feel.
That's what my mom kept saying.
Right?
We're lucky.
We're lucky.
Because we have that much love.
Yes. And so it's not surprising that this would attempt to keep us away from the pain as a way of saying that keeps you safe.
Yeah.
But staying away from the pain implies that you don't experience the love.
Yeah.
Which is the healing.
Yeah.
Right? And so to give her all of the slack, cut her all the slack. She's been sick. She's experienced this deep sense of loss. And that's when she's most vulnerable to being kept away or separated from what would assist her the most. Right? So no comparison. This is, you arrived today.
I'm very proud of myself. Like, wait, I'm in Mountain View today. What? I know something about Mountain View.
Yes, exactly. So to take, comfort in the fact that the love that your mom has for you and the love that she had for this practice is the love that you have for yourself and the love for this practice. And it's carrying you even when, because she brought you here.
Yeah.
The practice brought you here and you brought yourself here. That even when we're lost, the trees would know how to find us, right? Mm-hmm. And that beautiful poem by David White. Mm-hmm. Just to rest in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to really, really, you know, do the best that you can to rest in what took care of your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And reach out to us. Find some ways to support yourself like you did today. Please. Safe journey. And see you soon. Philip.
Yeah, okay. Well, this group's been very helpful. I'm in a kind of a middle of a process for a workshop. And Friday, I guess it was, one of the persons that are kind of in charge of, said, I really had you in mind for this. There's somebody we need in Ipswich, in Boston. I think you'd be perfect for that. And I said, oh, really? And she said, you want to see the job description an hour later? I said, later will do. You know, being kind of shocked. Luckily, hopefully, she's just one of these harebrained ideas. I don't know.
She's an external processor.
Yeah, I think so. And, of course, the first thing conditioning goes through, this is so funny, because it would be the first thing all the time would be, she's trying to get rid of me. I know that's not probably true, although, you know, well, it could be. But the interesting thing is, I didn't, of course, I could see conditioning, all breaks, all the, she's got to be crazy, you know. And it's a huge job anyhow. And so I'm not one, I've practiced forever, for years, not to close the door on life.
Yes.
So this is one thing. And yet, this seems so wrong. I was beaten with it, you know, watching, you know, the mind do what the mind does, but I was still beaten with it. And so this was probably somewhere in the middle of the night, you know, I was like, I thought, a simple email to her before it gets kind of, because there's five other people that would be in on this decision, before it goes too far. I sent back an email that said, I've looked at this, discerned, that would be fine. At this point, this does not seem what I'm called to be doing. Because that's true. And yet, I have no idea what I'm called to be doing, except whatever it is I'm doing. And so it's like, and I said at this point on purpose because, you know, at this point I'm saying, well, life, God, the Buddha would have to come right down in front of me and say, no, before I might do it. And yet I know that this whole thing, and I saw this and it was really kind of cool, is a workshop just in in itself. And I'm seeing a lot. I mean, if life said somehow and I knew it to do it,
you would.
I would. I've done worse than that. I mean, I'm always there, you know, under that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And so I would, and I would find a way to have fun. But I really is not going to be, wouldn't be my choice. And it wouldn't be right up. I mean, it would if I had to, but right now. So I'm thinking, well, that's what life's dropping in right now.
Yes.
And that's perfectly legitimate.
Yeah. You know, Phil, to me, it's a very spiritual place, right? Because we never operate at one level. We're always operating at many levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a level at which your intention is thy will be done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I said that. Right. I said, you know it's your will be done.
Right.
And.
Yes, well, but there's no and there. Because that's where I think that we get confused.
Uh-huh.
As if that everything that is being dropped into our lives, if we're oriented from thy will be done, is to say, yeah, how high do you want me to jump?
Well, yes, and I know that.
But it's not. Because to me, you know, it's the whole Saul and this lottery ticket process, right? It's like, please God, help me win the lottery.
Yeah.
And he yells down, please, can you buy a lottery ticket, Saul, so I can help you win the lottery.
Right.
There's a way in which in that relationship with life, we're required to participate. Life has an idea. It's like processing. You see what you see and you say it to me, and then based on what you say to me, I'm going to say back what I see.
Yeah.
It's not, at least in my experience, and I'm sure it's in yours, a yes to life is an orientation. But it doesn't mean that we aren't in negotiation all the time.
Right.
And that we are in dialogue.
And that's beautiful. Because what I've been saying is, I'm not saying no. I'm saying yes to what's right here.
Yes.
What life's calling me to right this minute. And so it's always yes, yes, yes. And if there's ever has to be a time when that has to be a yes,
yes. Well, because I think that freedom is also a misunderstood concept. It's not that freedom means that I have to go into the bar and not be able to drink when I'm an alcoholic. Freedom implies that I choose not to go to the bar.
Yes.
And that's the relationship with intelligence that we're always being invited to have.
Yes, you know, the example for that sticks in my mind forever. I was very young. I think I was still in the novitiate. And the other novice is saying, I can't stand this, like, vow of obedience. You know, we have to just do everything we're told. And I said, well, and I really meant this. For me, I said, oh, she said, I don't feel like I have any freedom. There's no freedom. And I said, for me, the freedom is being willing and wanting be able to do that.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, and there, I mean, we were, what, 18, 19, we had no choice anyhow, but to make it be the choice.
Yes.
You know, and it did. I didn't suffer in that. A lot of people did.
Right. Well, because that, so, in that in structures, I think what you're pointing to is structures assist us to see where we're not free.
Mm-hmm.
Structures are not meant to imprison us.
Yeah, I didn't know that then.
That's right.
You're right.
That's right.
Exactly.
So how do I make it work here? Not how do I feel oppressed because I'm choosing to see how I'm bound rather than how I'm free.
Because it's just like the monastery, isn't
yes.
it? Because I've heard people say, you know,
yes.
in the beginning, things like that when I used to, you know, be up there. And until we get the idea that just of what you said, it seems oppressive, but it's us that's oppressing ourselves.
Well, because I would project, and I don't know if this is, I'm sure this is your experience as well, when I feel bound, when I feel imprisoned, I'm always imprisoned by my conditioning.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's never about the content, because, let's just play this out, there is a structure that I feel like does not give me any freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I have submitted to that structure.
Mm-hmm.
I have no choice but to try to work it out,
mm-hmm.
right? But should that intuition arise for me, as it did for you, which is, this is not the job for me,
mm-hmm.
right? What we're really imprisoned by is the fear of our conditioning to disobey the structure because of the consequences I'm
yes.
going to have to face.
Yes.
I'm afraid of the consequences.
Right.
Not, that's why I don't feel free.
That's right.
Because if there were no consequences, I could just say no and keep going.
Mm. Right.
Mm. right? Right? And to recognize that we're controlled not by the structure but by the conditioning.
Yes.
And it's just got the face of freedom means I can be free from any structure. No, freedom means that I can face the fear that I'm being threatened by that I don't actually see as the consequence of not obeying the structure.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so to me, what you did was that word discriminate was so beautiful, right? Yes, my orientation to life is life. Yes, everything you want me to do, I will do. And the invitation here is for me to look to see and honor the life force here and know what it's being called to do.
Yes.
And speak for it.
So so it's like letting, I don't close the door, but we'll wait and see if life opens or closes.
That's right. So it's not an ego reaction, right?
Yeah.
Because initially when we're practicing, we always want to be watching for when ego says no.
Right.
Right? Because I always want to know, well, what am I being controlled around? Am
mm-hmm.
I not allowed to do X? Am I not allowed to do Y?
Mm-hmm.
But after a lot of practice, I know what I'm being controlled by.
Mm-hmm.
And if I sidestep through acceptance the process of ego and say, no, my highest intention is to say yes to life, I'm not closing the door on that. But from my place of openness to life, what is life inviting me to see?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than being controlled by ego to frame that as a choice of suffering.
Yes, and so that's the part where we are now, inviting life to see what I see about just about everything. And I know that place that if in fact it's going to move in that direction, which I have a lot of faith it won't, that final yes brings so much amazing joy. It's
yeah.
really...
Because you've done it so often, right, Phil? There isn't
done,
a place
I've done,
where...
I've done it, so I can't even believe how
yeah.
hard some of this stuff is.
Yeah.
yeah.
That I do... I went there. I did it. I got my guts eviscerated in the process.
Yeah.
And lost a lot and learned a lot and became a completely transformed human being. Thank you, God.
Yes.
And in this instance, if I have to cast a vote, I'm telling you, it's not what I want.
Right, right.
And it's a very powerful teaching from Sherry. The best reason not to do something is because you don't want to.
Right, exactly. And yeah, for this one, I'm not going to say yes right away just because I don't want to.
That's exactly right. Because
right?
there's a way in which you know what the I is.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Because in most of the time, the I don't want to comes from the resistance to that says ego doesn't want to. But a lot of the times, the no from here is held against us as, oh, that's what life wants. You're a bad human being because you won't do the right thing. Right? It's the other side of self-hate.
Yeah, you know, I even noticed the, it got very clear I was going to write this email, but I noticed that, you know, it's, even at that level, it's hard to say, no, I don't think so.
Right, because we're told that's going against God.
Well, that's going against, you know, these people, blah, 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 you know, But anyhow, it'll get clear, but my position.
Yes. Don't suffer, communicate.
And that's what I did. I'll just communicate.
Yes.
And so
Thank you very much, but this is not what I'm feeling called to do. Yeah. Now, again, if life comes back. So, as I said, you know, I love the processing metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting this out here, you tell me what you see. Then I'm putting this out here. We don't have to make any decisions. We're just in the process of clarification, right?
Yeah, and it can go on for a long time.
Yeah, and it could go on for a long time.
Yeah, until it gets clear. Mm-hmm. All right, well, thank you. That's very helpful.
Jan?
I'm looking at something much smaller. but there's something similar, and I'm trying to see what that is. And so I volunteered for an activity, an event to lead it because no one else had stepped up. And then I asked someone else to co-lead it with me. Great. It's a one-time thing. And so the message, and this just happened, so I just got a message saying, you know, from the co-leader that these folks, they don't like how you're... Oh, and part of the invitation to lead it was, you can do it any way you want, even though no one stepped up. Great, okay. Made a few minor changes. Then the feedback I get from the co-leader is, well, they don't really like the leader. Because you have to put out the description. People really, they want to do it this way, the old way. And my response was, fine. And if somebody wants to lead it, that's fine. Absolutely. Do it. You could co-lead with them. And she said, that might be more fun. And no, we'll just let it go. But what I'm getting here from the obsessive thinking, that's what I'm trying to see. What is that? It's pretty clear when I just sit down and my response was, fine, that's, just take it. That, I'm only doing, you know, without a lot of explanation. Because I wasn't really doing it because no one stepped up. So, the obsessive thinking is what I'm looking at.
What are the thoughts?
It's just there all the time repeating these little messages.
Uh-huh.
As far as I'm concerned, that's done.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I've done what I need to do, and there'll probably be a little bit more discussion about, because the other thing that dropped in, creativity, when you're open to it, I just said, great. We can do it this way and that way. Let's do it both ways. I haven't put that out yet. But what I'm trying to get a clear picture is what... It's like conditioning. I mean, in a way, I'm asking something that is sort of... The answer is somewhat obvious, but there seems like there's something else there. It's trying to catch me into suffering with this.
Mm-hmm.
Or it actually, in a way, it has, because I'm noticing that it just keeps running. It's just a repeat over and over and again.
I'm projecting that the redirecting the attention isn't working, within quotes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of energy to that. And
a lot of energy to
the thought pattern.
Okay.
Right. And so my way of practicing with that is always to look at something underneath it that is not an awareness that needs to be seen.
That's... Yes,
right.
And I just haven't seen it yet.
Well, yeah. and to me, again, you would probably want to start like a right-hand recording about it, because, and I'm just wildly projecting here, right?
Yeah.
At some level, whoever stepped forward, got this feedback, great, have no attachment to this. Delegated it or returned it to wherever it came from, and doesn't feel like they have anything going about anything. But I don't know this underneath it, there is an emotion. There might be emotion, right? Why? How could they give me this anger? It could be I stepped in and what, and then I got this feedback. Or, you know, I really wanted to do this. I don't know what that, the tonality of it is. But there's something in there that is elevating the charge of the thought pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you get it on the recorder and you go, oh, that was it. That was, it could be nothing. It could not be any of those things I just mentioned. But you'll see what it is that the thought pattern is obscuring from conscious awareness.
Yeah. And I have done some recording. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So like bringing it, you know, gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it is a little bit like a mystery, but, what I just got to see is the resistance to the obsessive thinking.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that is the case.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I think that's,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because it's like, I am sick of hearing about this no more. Yeah. And right there, it creates a...
holding it in place.
Yeah.
Another saying is, it wasn't done with you.
It what?
It wasn't done with you.
No, that's pretty evident.
that's something that when we truly let go, it won't come back. But that ability,
the resistance to the resistance to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just
yeah.
see. Maybe that by the time you leave the group, they would have let you go.
Well, it's so fascinating. I mean, practice is so great because it's, I mean, even these little things.
Yes. It is at the level of thinking, right? Those thoughts.
Yeah. And why is that hanging around? Well, it's getting some feedback is what I've just been able to see then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting feedback, which is what it wants. It's getting the energy. And I just haven't seen how, I still haven't seen completely how I'm,
You have a clue now, though.
Yeah, I mean, I should say the condition, the other, because it really is conditioning to conditioning.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Michael.
So, in the year-long retreat, we're looking at work now. And so what I'm looking at is my relationship with my boss. And he's a real expert in the subject matter that we work in. And so what I can see sometimes as the condition process is I don't know enough. I should know more. I should have known that. Or there's a shame around that. Mm. And so I had a reflective listening buddy call this morning, so I was talking about this. And so what I'm seeing is that his feedback sometimes gets interpreted as, even though it's directed to the subject, it gets interpreted to my self-worth, I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me. So that seems really critical.
Yes. It's actually the example in our year-long, right? The criticism is not towards the content, it is towards the person. That's what taking it personally is.
Yes.
Right? That's what we're programmed to be from a very young age. No matter what the circumstances,
right.
Mom's angry, well, I must have done something.
Right.
There's that inevitable conclusion of the content being converted into the ego.
Yes.
Right? And so we're so programmed to, okay,
yes.
Well, the feedback is coming, but I can't take it as information because the system is distorting it to
yes.
make it about itself.
Yes.
Not even about you. Make it about itself.
Right. Right. So the feedback is about the spreadsheet, but it gets boomeranged.
Yeah. Yeah, you did the spreadsheet, Michael. If you didn't do the spreadsheet the way it should be done, then it's your fault.
Right. That's the the meaning.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the meaning. Exactly. That's the meaning.
Yes. Yeah. And
and you're right. That is so huge. It is really huge to realize that.
Right. Right. Yeah. And to me, the other piece kind of related to that is that. So, however the feedback comes from him, whether it's kind or unkind, or it's my job, you know, as Sherry says, you know, if somebody criticizes me directly to my face, then I can respond, well, I'll look to see what is true for me. You know, to take a version of what is the essence here that is being communicated to me, even if it's communicated in a way that's unskillful or unkind or, you know, what, you know, everything's a workshop. So what is the lesson that is trying to get to me now?
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating to watch how the email class unfolds around that, right? Because it's communication around stress.
Yes.
And this is an example of a stressful situation.
Yes.
Because it produces the identification in you.
Yes.
Right? That this is one of those paths where the identity comes back, feeling ashamed for and taking responsibility for something you've done. And so what you're practicing with is in recognizing that that is the case.
You mean that I'm taking it personally?
Right. Yeah. That there's not, the identification is immediate.
Yes.
Right? To being the person who's being accused rather than being able to stay with the subject that is being given feedback to.
Right.
And so it's a huge degree of mastery if you can stay present in that moment to recognize what's happening.
Yes.
Here's the path of identification and here's the path of staying present, and to look for how, whatever the handle is that you can practice with in order to circumvent that that feeling bad route.
Mm-hmm.
And to give Michael all the slack in the world
as
he practices with that.
Yep.
Right? Because it's an old and worn out path.
Yep. And I was talking with Sherry about it, I think kind of related subject here a month or two ago. And she talked about it's a koan. I mean, in every level, on the subject matter, on the response, and it's just really helpful. Because the other thing I've noticed is I've been at this job a year and a half now or so, and my job is very secure. And I've gotten more and more free to say the, quote, dumb question.
Yeah.
And it's just incredibly freeing. To be able to just say, put out there, well, I don't follow this, and, you know, and even though he's the expert, sometimes I ask a question, and he doesn't know either. You know, because he hasn't looked deeply enough at something, too. So it's really, you know, being able to be free to communicate is an incredible joy.
Yes.
And freedom.
Yes, it is. And the process of that, right, Michael, is the, I think it was, Sherry was talking to Andrea on the morning show. The person, I think she was talking about how she feels like the person she's interacting with doesn't like her. Right? And Sherry's response to that is, the only person that needs to like her is you.
Yes.
And it's the same process. When we've accepted everything about ourselves, there's very little anyone can say.
Yes.
That puts us into a place of feeling like we're not enough. And that's the gift in this process.
Yes.
And I think that's the freedom you're pointing to. I can put out that dumb question because it says, I have nothing that the voices can say when that happens will take away from who I am or how much I love and accept this human being.
Yeah.
So there is a place to work and accept the human being in this particular scenario, which is the koan place of it, right?
Right.
So the nuance for every one of us in the number of ways that we're told we're not enough is, you know, that we've been programmed that way, is what we get to work with to reclaim all of it in acceptance.
Yeah, because if my self-worth or well-being is no longer at risk, then...
Exactly. And be the be triggered, right? And then you can practice at a level of mastery where you can ask the dumb question or reflect him till in your head till you get out of that place of. And when you get to that place of feeling centered, despite whatever is being coming towards you, maybe you could say, perhaps you could reword that in this way. For me to be able to take it in, or however you want. That's the ultimate level of mastery when you can facilitate the other person to assist you, to support, to be not unconscious when they're delivering the feedback.
Yes.
And acting out of their identification with being the expert who knows.
Right. Yeah, and he is coachable sometimes, so it's quite amazing.
Right, and so then we start where we can start. Mm-hmm. So that when we don't get triggered, we are able to facilitate.
Right. Yeah, and the last piece of it I'll say is just to have that kind of go-to habit of a couple minutes later, step outside and record and just talk about it, put it all out.
Exactly.
You know, because, and then I think it was maybe 10 or 15 minutes later I was outside, I was recording. I couldn't even remember. Yeah. I couldn't remember what I was supposed to record about.
Yes.
So it was quite fascinating.
It is, because it's what we were talking about with Jen, that there's a way in which the attention is not self-recursive into suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want to release the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something's bothering you, mm-hmm. record about it to get it out of the head and outside. Mm-hmm. And then if you are in that space, what's being obscured by the obsessive thought pattern is brought into conscious awareness. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
We have time for one more before we go. Jen?
I'll just say what the smile brought to my face to see all those shoes out there this morning.
Yes. Yes.
And also to be saying the recitations with all of what it was, like a chorus.
Yes. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we can repeat this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody.